Good evening, church. It's good to be here. Thank you for this opportunity. I know you must be tired from your work, but here's an introduction. So just let's pray before we begin. Lord, thank you for this time that you've given us, Lord. We know that we are in your presence. We know that your word is in us, and you're going to reveal things to us that are beyond what we can ever, you know, understand in our natural, Lord. So help us, Jesus, today. In the name of Jesus, we pray, amen. So yeah, so I've got 10 minutes to share what I want to. The title of the message that I have is The Quality of God's Love Expressed Through His Attributes. The Quality of God's Love Expressed Through His Attributes. The portion that we have is 1 John 3, verse 1. So let's just turn to 1 John 3, verse 1. I like the way the KJV brings this up, you know. So this is how it goes. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Now this, I want to focus on just one word, the word manner. When it is set in this context, it more or less seems like an interrogative sentence. It seems, it's an adjective, but it's placed in an interrogative sense, you know. So it's like, it's for example, if I were to speak to Vijay, who's over here, and say, man, what singing by Pastor Benny and Pastor Chris. What unison. Amazing, isn't it? So what I'm trying to do is I'm explaining an action, but I'm putting it forward in the way that I'm just questioning it. You know, I'm explaining it in the way in an interrogative sense. So it's exactly that way. So if Apostle John had to read this, he would say, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us. And I was just thinking of this word, what manner of love? What is the manner of love? What is this word? In the Greek, the word manner is potapos. It basically means the quality of the action. So if I were to put that word here, I would say, behold the quality of the love of the Father that he has bestowed upon us. The quality of the love of the Father. How many times have we gone shopping, you know, looked at something that we wanted to buy? We saw it on the outer, on the external appearance. It seemed so beautiful. We bought it and then we went home. And then a few months down the line, we see the external beauty disappear and we see the quality on the inside, which is inferior, right? How did it make us feel? But is that the quality of God's love? Quality is essentially an expression of one's true essence on the inside. 1 John 4, verse 7 to 8, if you could just quickly turn there with me, please. Sets the grounds for brotherly love. And verse 8, there's a mention that God is love. God is love. I like the way A.W. Tozer explains God is love in his book, Attributes of God. He says that love is an essential attribute of God's being. It means that in God is the sum of all love, and all love comes from God. Okay? So in God is the summation of all love, and that all love is from God. It also means that God's love conditions all his other attributes, such that God can do nothing except that he does so in love. Isn't that beautiful? God's love conditions all his attributes and fashions it in such a way that when God acts, he does so in love. Now, God cannot separate himself into different parts, you know, and using one attribute, he does an action, and then using another attribute, he does another action which is contrary to the first. God cannot do that. And this is the quality of God's. I was just wondering, what is the manner of God's love? What is Apostle John trying to say here? And if you think of it, Apostle John is, he says that I was loved by Jesus, you know. He was the disciple who was closest to Jesus. He must have understood the quality of Jesus' heart, the Father's heart, yeah? So, and the quality of God's love is beautifully expressed in the united functioning of all his attributes in love towards the object of his love, yeah? The quality, we see the quality of God's love in the united functioning of all his attributes. And the bottom line is in love towards the object of his love. To understand this even further, I mean, we've been having a wonderful time at my home during our devotionals. We have been reading Isaiah. And then we come to Isaiah 40, chapters 40 onwards. And here is a beautiful picture of exactly what we spoke about. The quality of God's love. God's love conditioning his attributes in such a way that when God expresses his attributes towards the object of his love, he does so in love. So let's look at it. So I just have 10 minutes, so I'm just going to quickly go over it, but please feel free to study this. It's a beautiful, you know, passages of the Bible. Isaiah 40 onwards, 40 to 46, 40 to 66 is a very different section. If you break up Isaiah into different sections, okay? So if you look at chapters 40 and 41, it's very interesting to see that these chapters express the omnipotence of who God is, you know, the attribute of his omnipotence. We see the attribute of his sovereignty in chapters 40 and 41, okay? If you read those chapters, so beautifully God, you know, talks about creation. God talks about how he delivers Israel from her oppressors, you know. We see God revealing his power and his might in these chapters. But I like to point out some key verses. Verse 10, it says, "Behold, the Lord God will come with might, with his arm ruling off for him." Portrays God as a mighty God. But if you look at the next verse, verse 11, chapter 40, verse 11, it says, "Like a shepherd, he will tend his own flock. In his arm, he will gather the lambs and carry them in his bosom. He will gently lead the nursing ewes." How does a God so powerful and so mighty now expresses himself to being a gentle shepherd? You know, verse 29, "He gives strength to the weary, and to him who lacks might, he increases power." Verse 31, "Those who wait on the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not be tired. They will walk and not become weary." Here is God, all powerful, all sovereign. But we see that the attribute of God's love, or the quality of God's love, conditions his attributes in such a way that now God is able to express his attribute of potency towards the object of his love, in love, like a shepherd, like a shepherd, like a gentle shepherd. To the weary he gives strength. To those who wait on the Lord he gives new strength. The quality of God's love expressed through his attributes. Let's look at chapters 42 and 43. Here, there is an expression of God's attribute of righteousness, justice, and God's attribute of faithfulness. You know, if you read these chapters, it's amazing. He compares himself to the idols that Israel picked up on the way, you know. The idolatry that they saw themselves falling into. And God compares himself to those idols. And then in those chapters, you get to see God revealing himself to be the Redeemer of Israel. Now, God's righteousness and God's justice. And then you see God redeeming the nation of Israel. God's faithfulness. And then we see God promising to fulfill all their needs to an unfaithful nation. What is the manner of God's love? God's love conditioning his attributes such that now when God expresses himself, expresses his attributes towards the object of his love, he does so in love. Beautiful, isn't it? I mean, if I was just blown away when reading these chapters, and every time I read these chapters, I was just amazed at seeing the heart of God. And what is the quality of God's love? And it brought me back to this verse in 1 John 3, verse 1. What is the manner of love? See how great a love the Father has bestowed upon us. What is the quality of God's love? We see the quality of God's love expressed in his attributes. And on as we read through these chapters, and I tend to do so, I want to do so, and I want to get to know what is the quality of God's love. So what's in it for me? In this time that we find ourselves, in a situation where we can't do anything about it, I believe it's time for us to focus our eyes or to shift our eyes from the situation that we find ourselves in and focus it on who God is. Really, focus it on who God is. Because in the light of who he is, when we enter into the light of who he is, we really enter into worship. And that's something that I have been blessed with, you know. Let me get back to what Pastor Benny said on Sunday, the covenant. We have been covenanted into a new covenant. If you look at Hebrews 8, verse 7 to 13, this new covenant that we have been brought into is based on the finished work of Jesus Christ our Lord. It's finished. The work is finished. There is a covenant that we have entered into. And what are the pillars of those covenants? John 13, verse 34. Jesus beautifully mentions it. He says, "Love one another even as I have loved you." How are we to love one another? Just as God has loved us. When we say just as God has loved us, what do we mean? In the quality of love that we have seen in God is the quality of love we need to have for one another. Quickly, let's turn to 1 John 4. 1 John 4, verse 7 to 21. Beautiful passage. It lays down the grounds of our love one toward another. And I want to point you to verse 11. "Behold, beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another." Beloved, if God so loved us. The word "so" there is basically talking about the quality of God's love. Behold, if God so loved us, we ought to also love one another. In what manner? In the same manner in which God loved us, we ought to love one another. Before I finish, the word "see" in John chapter 1 verse 3, John chapter 3 verse 1. "See how great a love the Father has bestowed upon us." The word "see" there, what are we to see with? Who are we to see? What are we to behold? Is it with the outward eyes? No. Ephesians 1 verse 18, the eyes of our understanding be enlightened. Apostle John is saying that, may the eyes of our understanding be enlightened to see the quality of God's love, to be amazed at the quality of God's love towards us. And by being enlightened with understanding the quality of God's love towards us, now we in turn love one another. Okay? So that's what I wanted to share. The manner, what? Let me read that verse again. 1 John 3 verse 1. See how great a love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called children of God. And such we are. For this reason the world does not know us, because it did not know him. What is the manner of God's love? What is the manner of our love towards one another? Thank you.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Wednesday evening service. And it's great to be in the house of the Lord today. It's great to turn to God's word and hear from the Lord what he has for us this evening. So let's turn in our Bibles to Hebrews chapter 6, verses 11 to 15. Hebrews 6, 11 to 15. And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith, and patience inherit the promises. For when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply you. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this moment. Thank you for the message which was preached, Lord, and speak to our hearts, Lord, and minister to us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So this evening, I want to speak on the subject, inheriting the promises through faith and patience. Inheriting the promises through faith and patience. When we look at the background of the book of Hebrews, the background is this, that the author, the anonymous author, is encouraging these Jewish believers to go forward in their walk with the Lord. And the background is such that there has been intense persecution, and therefore they are tempted to stop going forward with the Lord, and they are tempted to go back to Judaism, the background which they came from. And so the author is encouraging them to go forward. When we read Hebrews 6 and verse 10, it says, for God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love, which you have shown toward his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. So the author is saying that up till a certain point in the life of these Jewish Christians, they had walked with the Lord, and they had done, glorified his name, and they had ministered to him and his people. But now something had happened. And what was that something? It was a situation. There was intense persecution, and because of the situation, there was this temptation to let go, to give up, and to go back to Judaism. And the author is encouraging these believers to go forward and not fall away. And he says this in verse 11, and that's our first point. He says this, and we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end. And our first point today is having the right mindset or attitude as a Christian. Having the right mindset or attitude as a Christian. This is a very important point, because Much of Christianity is not about action, but it is about having the right mindset and attitude. When my mindset and attitude is right, it would result in the right action. So the author is saying here to these believers that we desire that each one of you show the same diligence. That means in their lives, they were at a certain season walking with the Lord with a certain kind of earnestness and diligence. But now something had come in which was stopping them from walking. And he says that you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end. That means that they would be fully convinced, just like they were doing before, even though the situation is there, and to go forward till the end. And the end is the goal with the Lord. And the right mindset or attitude is very important. Now, this is important when we think about it. The situations we find ourselves in do not change God, but it can change our attitude towards God. That's an important point. It is highly possible that during this pandemic, during this season of lockdown and staying at home and not being able to come to church, it is possible that our attitude towards God has changed, though God never changes. Now, we must understand firstly that God can change the situation. He can change this situation and bring it back to normal. Or God is using the situation to change me in the situation. That's an important point. God is using this situation to change me in the situation. And so it's important to have the right mindset. And then we see in our second point, it says in verse 12, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Now the word for sluggish, or the King James says that you be not slothful, is the same word which is used in Hebrews chapter 5 verse 11, where it says, of whom we have much to say and hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. And it's the same word dull, and the same word here, sluggish or slothful, it's the same Greek word. And what it means is being sluggish. In a literal sense, it means being lazy. In a figurative sense, it means being stupid or dull. And the writer is saying that you do not be sluggish or stupid in your thinking, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Now, it is very important why he uses this word sluggishness, because this word, in our second point, is directly connected to our hearing. So if you look at Hebrews 5, verse 11, he says, of whom we have much to say and hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, in Romans 10, 17, 18, as a secondary application. Primary application is when an unbeliever hears the gospel, there is faith in the message, and when he uses his volition to respond, the faith is there and he receives salvation. But in a secondary application, faith is directly connected to the hearing. So in Hebrews 5, these believers had become dull of hearing. They were not earnest about it. They were not putting their ears towards it. And because of that, now they didn't have faith or that wholehearted trust in the Lord. And imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Now, faith is towards God, and patience is a word which we are going to learn today, which many of us already know, is the word makrothumia, M-A-K-R-O-T-H-U-M-I-A, makrothumia. And it is a word called patience with respect to people. So in this context, it is patience with respect to God, who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Now, a promise is something which we see very much in daily life. The Oxford Dictionary defines a promise as an assurance that one will do something, right? And in our daily life, we are filled with promises. Like you have a problem with your tap or something, and you call a plumber and he'll say, "Sir, I'll come tomorrow." And then you wait for him the next day and he's not there, right? How many of us have been in that kind of situation? So there are all kinds of promises made in our daily life, right? When you come to marriage, you know, a man and woman, they take vows. That's a promise, right? But that's a promise which has a greater value and a greater intensity. But when you come to the word promise here in the Greek, when it talks about God, it is a word which talks about primarily a legal term denoting a summons, a promise undertaking to do or give something. So it is primarily a legal term denoting a summons or promise undertaking to do or give something. In this verse, the one who is making the promise is God himself, right? It is God himself. But imitate those. So the writer is saying, imitate those. And the imitation is of the biblical examples. Imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promise. So faith in God, complete trust that what he has promised he will do. And patience. The patience is towards the person, makrothumia. And in this context, it's towards God himself, patience. And that patience has a time factor involved. There is a time factor involved. So God gives a promise, but from the time God gives the promise till the time it actually happens, there is a time factor involved. And there is a patience which is exercised towards God. So our first point is in verse 11, having the right mindset or attitude of faith. And the second point is in verse 12, slothfulness or sluggishness is connected to hearing. Now in a third point we see in Hebrews 6, 13 and 15 is the illustration which the writer gives, and the writer gives an illustration here in Hebrews 6, 13 to 15. He says this, "For when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself, saying, 'Surely blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply you.' So after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise." Now, this is a very beautiful illustration, because what is the promise to Abraham? In Genesis 12, 1, 2, 3, God makes a promise to Abram, when his name is Abram, and says, "In you all the families of the earth will be blessed." That means Abram had to have a son, right? It is talking about his posterity. And in Genesis 12:4, when that promise is made to Abram, he's 75 years old. And Abraham, later on becomes Abraham, he waits for 25 years. And and Isaac is born in Genesis 21 verse 5 when Abraham is 100 years old. So God made a promise to Abram when he was 75. And then he had to wait for a duration of time. And in his situation, it was 25 years. And 25 years later, we see Isaac was born. Isaac was born. He waited for 25 years. So verse 15 says, "So after he had patiently endured," and that word we see, patiently endured, is the same word, derivative of the same word, makrothumia. That means after he had been tremendously patient with God himself, he obtained the promise. He obtained the promise. Now, just for a moment, let's turn to Romans chapter 4. And this is a beautiful passage which talks about Abraham's faith in Romans 4, 17 to 21. "As it is written, 'I have made you a father of many nations, in the presence of whom him who believed God, whom he believed God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did, who contrary to hope in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations, according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. This is a beautiful passage. It's a beautiful passage. And sometimes when you read the story of Abraham, you and I, we may think that why did God make Abraham wait for 25 years for the promise? Why couldn't God give it immediately the next day? Like God promised on the first day, he could have given it the next day at 75 years of age. And there is a reason here, because it says here in verse 19, he did not consider his own body already dead since he was 100 years old and the deadness of Sarah's womb. So Sarah was 90, he was 100. He was frail as a human being. Sarah was also old, and her womb was dead. And we could say that God waited for that point to show Abraham and Sarah that the promise was totally by the enablement of God. That the promise had nothing to do with Abraham and Sarah's ability or their effort. It was totally by the grace of God. And this is a beautiful illustration for us in our life, where we are at this place today where this pandemic season has brought us to a dead end, right? We have not met in church for many months. We have come to a dead end, and we are thinking, what next? Will things be back to normal? Yes, through this passage, we can have faith and we can have a full assurance. We can be totally convinced that what God has promised, He is faithful and He will do it. And we can look ahead and go forward in our walk with God and not make this season a reason or an excuse to go back in our walk with God. That's very important. So, in our fourth point, we see in Romans 8:32. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? And let's focus on that first part. He who did not spare his own son. And in our fourth point, we want to look at the cross and God's milestones. The cross and God's milestones. When we look at the cross and what Jesus did on the cross, what God had to do for us, the greatest thing has already been done on the cross. That's what Pastor Benny spoke about last Sunday, about the covenant, the new covenant. It has already been done. The greatest thing which God wanted to do for the whole human race has already been done. The work of Jesus on the cross, his death, his burial, his shed blood, and his resurrection. And because of that, today, when the gospel is presented to us at a point in time, and when we believe, we are saved. And that is so beautiful, and that is so encouraging. And then it says, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? That is the second part. Yes, we are saved, and we have our names written in heaven, and we are going there. But the walk with the Lord, God is freely giving us all things. And what are those? Those are his precious promises coming to pass. For Abraham, it was Isaac 25 years later. For us, we could look at it this way, like at a point in time we got saved. I could say in my own life, at a point in time I got saved. God led me to study the Bible. I graduated. At a point in time I got married. I was a missionary. I got a child at a point in time. And there are milestones in my own life which God has done in his faithfulness. And we are always encouraged through the Bible never to think about our past till this point, because it is dead in Christ. It is gone. It is forgiven. But we are also encouraged in the Bible to remember the past in a positive way with respect to the things which God has done. And when you go back in time in the past, sometimes when we think about the past, about what God has done, we think only till from this point of salvation till this point. But you must also, we can even go before that, even when we did not know God, even when you were a small child. In Matthew 5:45, God provided for us. He provided food and clothing and school and parents. And he has provided for us, and he has brought us to this point. And we can see his faithfulness even when we did not know who he was. And after salvation, his faithfulness, there are these milestones, you know. And one of the things I have seen being in Goa and being here is I've seen two generations grow up before my eyes. And what are they? They are milestones of the faithfulness of God. People who were 14 and 15 who got saved, now become adults, who are married, now they have children. What are they? They are milestones which we have seen about the faithfulness of God. And if you look at your own life and we look back at the milestones which God has done, what does that do? It gives us tremendous encouragement about his faithfulness. Now, in our fifth point, we need to understand this, that this season will also pass, right? I have been a Christian for 26 years, and I'm not saying this in a boastful way, but I'm saying this to illustrate a point, that in 26 years of being a Christian, I've never seen a season like this pandemic. I spoke to Uncle Laurie, I spoke to my dad, who are far senior to me, that if in their lifetime they had seen something like this, and they have not seen anything like this. But when we look back at the faithfulness of God, when did this season begin? This season began March 22nd. But this season will pass, right? This season will pass. When did Abraham receive the promise? At 75. But that promise will come to pass at 100. You know, Joshua said this in Joshua 23:14. Not a single thing at the end of his life of which God promised or what God said in his word ever failed. It has all come to pass, right? The promised land, which was promised in Numbers 13 and 14. 40 years later, he took the next generation in. And at the end of his life, he said, everything which God has promised, it has come to pass. And what am I trying to say? I'm trying to say this, that let's not give up hope. Let's not turn our back on God because of this current situation. Let's not say it's okay, we have walked with God till this point, now I'm going to turn back. No, let's go forward with the Lord. Let's go forward with the Lord. And what? Through faith and patience, inherit the promises. That's what we are going to do. Through faith and patience, we are going to inherit the promises. We are going to hang in there. We are going to trust God. We are going to be fully assured that what God has said, it will come to pass. And we have to just wait on him and be patient. And one day we will walk out of this season. Amen. We will walk out of this season and we will meet back again as a church. And we will do the things which we were doing formerly. We will do it. Why? Because all his promises are yes and amen. Are yes and amen. So as we think about this subject today, one of the things we can ask ourselves is, what is God trying to teach me in this season? This is a very important point. What is God trying to teach me in this season? Yes, I know in the past that Jesus died for me on the cross, and I have believed in him and in my Savior. I have believed in him as my Savior, and I know I am eternally secure. And I know that in my walk, God has been faithful, and there have been these milestones. And there is this new season now. But what is God teaching me in this season? And we may not understand why this season is there or what is happening. But what is God teaching me in this season? And one day when we come out of this season, we will be able to say like Joseph. And that's there in Genesis. Genesis chapter 50 verse 20. But as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good in order to bring about this day to save many people alive. He understood this many years later as to why he went through all those trials, why he went through that season of his life, right? And we may not understand why we are going through this, but it's okay. One day God will show us what he has done through this season in our lives, in the lives of our families and in the world. And we can what? Say, yes, it was a challenging season, but God meant it for good. Amen. And this season also will pass. So in conclusion today, this is what I want to encourage you all, is let's go forward in our walk with God. Let's go forward, right? Learning from Him. Let's keep hearing His word, reading His word. Go forward. Secondly, let's have a faith anticipation. Yes, what is God going to do after this thing gets over? And what else? Let's inherit the promises with patience, right? You know, there is one promise which all of you have inherited, which is all our children have gone to the next grade. And I'm sure this year all the children experienced the grace of God, because many of them got promoted without an exam. That's the great grace of God. What is this? That is a promise which we have inherited. Our children have gone to the next grade, right? And it's a beautiful thing. And what else? We can be thankful. We can be thankful. And the last thing is, if you have the blesser, which is God Himself, you have everything. We don't have to worry about the blessing. The blessing will come in its time. The promise will come in its time. If you have the blesser, you have everything. So, in conclusion today, let's be encouraged today that we, through faith and patience, we can inherit the promises. You know, I called up a few people, most of the people from the church. A few of them were very excited because they got to spend time with their families and they said it was a blessing. Others found it a challenging season, but it is okay, no problem. Even though there are losses materially or losses in monetary sense, all of us can say we have gained spiritually. Many people said to me, I feel more closer to God, I'm more dependent upon the Lord. I feel sense the nearness of God. Many people said to me, health is great. I'm feeling rested. And there are many blessings added to us despite this situation. And so let us continue as a body to draw near to God and to go forward. And what? Through faith and patience, inherit the promises. Let's remember one thing. It is unbelief which stops us from inheriting the promises. In Numbers 13 and 14, it was the unbelief of the 10 spies and then all the adults who sided with them, which stopped them from inheriting the promises. But Joshua and Caleb, they had faith, and 40 years later, they did inherit the promise, though it came after a period of time of 40 years. So let's keep these illustrations in mind. Abraham waited for 25 years. Joshua and Caleb waited for 40 years. Right? To inherit the promise, right? When Mary was given the promise, yes, your son, his name shall be Jesus, and a sword will also pierce through your own heart. And she hid those words in her heart. And when her son died on the cross, and he was buried, and in Acts 1, she's there. And then she understood what he had come for, right? Right? She also inherited the promise. What? The promise of moving from the Old Testament to the New Testament. Right? So, right? Let us be people. Right? Yes, we are saved. Yes, we are walking with the Lord. But what are we? We are through faith and patience. We are inheriting the promises. And I want to end with this Hebrews 6:15, which is a beautiful verse. And we'll read first Hebrews 6 and verse 9. But beloved, we are confident of better things concerning you, yes, things that accompany salvation, though we speak in this manner. So the writer is saying, don't stop, because there are things which accompany salvation, which are the blessings and the promises. And in 6:15, and so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. That is such a beautiful verse. He obtained the promise. If we go to Genesis, we see Genesis 25, we see verse 7. This is the sum of the years of Abraham's life which he lived, 175 years. verse 8. Then Abraham breathed his last and died in a good old age, an old man and full of years, and was gathered to his people. That's so beautiful, right? Right? Promise given at 75, promised fulfilled at 100, but he lived till 175 years, right? Full of the blessings of the Lord, complete life walked with God. And so that is our example for today, right? That we through faith and patience, we inherit the promises. Let's pray. Father, thank you for speaking to us. Thank you for ministering to us. Give us patience, Lord, and help us to be fully convinced, Lord, that whatever you have promised in your word, it will come to pass. That in Philippians 1:6, you says, you have started a good work in us, and you will complete it. Yes, we believe that, Lord. Help us to trust you. Help us to stay close to you, Lord. And help us to believe you. And help us as a church one day to see this pandemic get over and meet back as a church, as one body, and praise you and worship you as one body. We thank you, Lord, for speaking to our hearts today. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great week. Yeah, and keep us in your prayers, and we are praying for you. Amen.